Okay. Good morning, all. Here's the story of today, which is that we have, I think it's three segments. Let me just make sure here. Yeah, we have three. Okay, we're going to sing together. I don't like the word sing along. I call it all sing. Sing along seems a little odd. And this is an all sing experience of Swami's oratorio. And we won't do the instrumentals, we'll only do the songs. We'll do all the short recitatives twice. If in doubt, just play it twice, okay? The longer songs that are really songs, we don't need to do twice. But I'm going to encourage all of you, even though those of you who are choir members, to sing melody all the way through. In fact, I request that you sing melody. Because once the choir members start breaking apart into parts, then other people don't exactly know how to follow. And I'll quote Chaitanya on this. After years of singing tenor, the first time we did an all sing here, he remarked that he'd never sung all those melodies, and that singing all the melodies was a very different experience for a tenor than it had been doing the tenor parts. Pause. Chaitanya has come from Sacramento. For those of you who don't know, we had the pleasure of Chaitanya's company and his singing voice for 20 years, and then he went away. But he's now enchanting other people, but he did come back for today. So the way we do this is we have three sections, and we repeat the same pattern three times, which is first I talk about the section. The oratorio essentially traces the life of Christ and was written, as most of you know, from Swami Kriyananda's visit to the Holy Land. And then he took the inspiration he felt and he translated it into music and translated it into poetry, basically. He himself said about it that there was no need to bring that inspiration outward. He was completely satisfied with it. But as a way of sharing it, he tried to translate it into music, into melody, and then into the poetry of the words. I may speak about that more in a moment. The way we'll follow this is that I'll talk about what we're going to sing in the context of what it means spiritually, not so much about the songs, although maybe I'll say a little because most of you, not all of you, are familiar with them, but just where we are in the life of the devotee or where we are in the life of Christ. And then we'll stop and we'll sing just without stopping for about 30 minutes, just song after song. And we passed out sheets. Here's sheets of the words for those of you who, everybody will need them. And if you're able to read music and would rather have it, this way. This is just the choir pieces. This isn't all of them. Well, that's not so helpful. Anyway. So, in any case, we have the choir pieces. We have some of them in music form for those of you who can read music and would like to have that. You can also have that. So I'll talk. We'll sing for half an hour. And then we'll meditate for 10 or 15 minutes. We'll take a brief break, just enough to stretch. But please don't break the mood during the break. You can hum if you want to, but don't talk. Just stay centered. We'll just take the break just so that everybody can stretch. And then we'll just do it again. And then we'll do it again. Okay, yes, Barbara. Sure.
The section's pretty clear about when to stop.
Yes, exactly. Oh, good point. Todd, do you have it marked out the way I have it marked out? If not, I can just hand it to you. Okay. I think that I have passed this out in the past, but I don't have it today. So, if someone could make a couple of copies of that would be very helpful. Why don't you do that? Yeah, because then you all can have them, and then you can just see how far we're going. Pardon me? Make three, because Todd needs one, they need one, and I need one. Okay? So then we'll meditate for a few minutes, take a break, and then we'll start the whole thing over. And when we have done this in the past, it has been very effective, because you just really get into this story, and the music is powerful. And by the time Jesus is resurrected, you feel like you've been through the whole experience. I have crowded your chairs together as much as you can, fighting against the American concept of personal space, which does not serve us when we're trying to sing together. You never see, you rarely see a choir spread out all over the stage. Doesn't everybody stand close together? We'll sit while we're talking, but then when we sing, we'll stand. And if I can possibly persuade you all to stand closer together, it will be such a personal and deep satisfaction to me. Because most people sing better if they're, and both Barbara and Chaitanya will be on the microphones for just continuously. So basically, and their voices will be amplified, so that'll give everyone, and if you wish, you may come and stand closer to them, which is, this is a really good spot. Yeah, the whole front row. But we're actually singing to the altar. We tried to put them in a position where they could also sing to the masters. So when we stand up to sing, you can come and stand in this area, and it's just really between you and God. That's all that we're doing here. But there's a lot of power in running these melodies through our own systems. Okay, is there any, I think it's pretty straightforward. There's a few snacks and some hot water out there. It takes something like 4 hours, maybe 4 hours and 15 minutes. We'll see how long it takes. We'll be finished around 2 o'clock. Okay. Yeah. Yes, please close that door. Is there a yoga class? Okay, so by the first break, the yoga class ends at 11. Okay, so by the time someone needs to use the bathrooms or get water, the teaching center's unlocked, and by the time we have our first break, the yoga center will be open too. So. Okay. Great. So this is one of these things where whatever else you plan to do, you can't do it. So you might as well just put it out of your mind as best you can. Ah, yes, this is the point at which you turn off your cell phones. And if you don't, I personally will smash them. So just make sure. In Los Angeles, they have a basket and they ask people to put their cell phones into the basket as they come in, which I think is a great idea. Oh, no, they get them back at the end. Good point. But I think it's the idea of putting them in the basket that helps. Okay. All right. So let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father. Divine Mother. Friend, beloved God. Jesus Christ. Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, beloved Master, Paramhansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, humbly we bow to you all. Beloved Christ, help us this day to walk in your footsteps, to be transfigured, to surrender, to rise again, to live eternally in thy spirit of unconditional love. Peace. Amen. Thank you. Okay, and also just by the way, we've lowered, for those of you who are familiar with these things, we've taken most of the songs down, at least a few steps, so that it's as Alto's rule today is what's going to happen, because most people can hit the mid-range a little easier. All right, so the beginning of the oratorio, we're going to do on this for just for you. We do parts 1, 2, and 3. And these parts begin. The first part is the call to action. The second part is the deepening of our inner resolution, and the third is the first step to God, which is to get in touch with the compassion of Divine Mother. So I want to just talk a little bit about what all of these are about. And that takes us from children of God to when Mary and Elizabeth meet. And Mary and Elizabeth sings to Mary about the glory of what's about to come. So just a second, let me just be where I need to be here in my book. There we are. All of us, the instrumental that we're not going to play today because it just simply lengthens the day too much, is called Call to Zion, I believe is the name of it. Upward, go, come to Zion, go to Zion. Zion is represents for all of us the place within us and perhaps in the world where spirituality will be realized. So the first step on the spiritual path for every soul, no matter what path they follow, no matter what karmic trajectory they have followed to get to that point, is at some point, somewhere in us, in our heart, in our mind, whatever that, however that aspiration comes, we feel called. And we're called away from whatever has seemed like enough until that point, and then we're called to something. We don't always, in fact, most of the time, we don't clearly know what we're being called to. And it goes in two ways. Sometimes it just starts as an aversion to what's in front of us, and then there is often even incarnations of just conflict and confusion because we're not quite able to embrace the worldly life and we don't yet perhaps understand the spiritual life, or we understand the spiritual life but we're afraid. And so at some point in every devotee's journey, some decision has to be made that says, even if I don't clearly know where I'm going to set out on the journey. And often what happens in an interesting way is when we finally make that little step, often a great deal of grace comes down at that point. I always think of it like Swami Kriyananda had the habit when before he would buy a book, a work of fiction, he would always read the last couple of pages before he would buy it. And I would tease him. I mean, I questioned him. I said, why do you want to know? He said, his answer was actually more poignant than you would think for such a question. I've had enough suffering in my life. I don't want to read a book that's going to end unhappily. I have to find out that it's going to end happily before I'm willing to read it. I said, well, doesn't that spoil the suspense? And he said, no, as a writer, I enjoy seeing how he gets there. But I often feel that when we really finally make that decision on the spiritual path, it's like God sometimes flips, if not all the way to the back, farther on in the story. Because if we know it's going to end happily, then we have more courage during a lot of the ups and downs that follow us, isn't that so? So this song, in fact, when we start singing, we start with children of God. The promise of children of God, your time of trial has ended. You know, it is the most dynamic, sterling promise. And it's God just declaring it. And when we sing it, you know, we're God's voice declaring it. But of course, who are we trying to convince? We're trying to convince ourselves. And that song has so much uplifting power to give us hope. And on the spiritual path, we need that. I was listening to Swami talk this morning in a recording, and Master used to use the phrase, the romance of the spiritual path, which I had heard many times, but I understood it better when Swami was talking about it. Romance, I tended to think in very literal ways. Oh, well, God loves me and I love God. But Swami said, we imagine when we first start on the spiritual path that maybe we'll go to India and we'll have a little hut by the Ganges, or we'll be walking down the street and someone will walk by and, like Jesus, say, follow me, and we will, you know, or we'll live under the trees and, as Swami said, and the mosquitoes will never bite us, you know. Just we have these ideas of this sort of all the ways in which it's going to show. He said, and that's the romance of it. He said, because, as Swamiji said, anything worth accomplishing takes a lot of work. And so we tend not to visualize those hours and days of effort and those agonizing self-revelations and adjusting ourselves to self-honesty and humility. And it's difficult, in fact impossible, to persevere through those times unless some part of us knows where we're going. And so even this song, Children of God, is a great one to keep in your personal arsenal for those days when, as I used to put it when we were early on the path, we just all saw the island out there and we just rushed into the water and started swimming. Bali High out there. We just knew we could swim right to it. And we just swam like crazy for a long, long time. Except, of course, distance is elusive. And so it turned out to be a lot farther away than we thought. And so now we're too far from shore to go back. And we don't know how much longer we have to go to get there. So we're treading water and talking about it. Trying to figure out what's going to happen now. And it's a deliberate trick on the part of God. He does. He touches our heart deeply enough that we're spoiled for that world. But then all that distance has to be covered. And that distance it's not a punishment. It's that we ourselves, it's just the karmic law. We ourselves have set in motion all of these conflicting energies. You know, all those incarnations where we just did not heed. And it doesn't count the lifetimes where we didn't know any better. It's the ones where we didn't heed. You know, those are the worst kinds of karmas to bear, aren't they? The ones where there was a voice inside of you that said, this is what you should do. But there wasn't the courage or the clarity or the energy or whatever was needed to follow. And all of those energies have to finish before we have peace again. And that's all that we're going through. You have to understand that. We're not being punished. It's momentum. It's driving down the freeway and having missed our exit and all the effort that it takes to turn around and go back and get to it. It's not that it can't be done or even that it's that hard to do, but it's a step that can't be missed. So God tells us, children of God, and then we sing about, and Swami was inspired by Israel, a new tomorrow, the forging of that land. But that's really just about, again, it's the same promise in a more outward way. Children of God is from the spine, and a new tomorrow is really the same promise. We can do it, we will do it, and now is the time to do it. And it has that rousing energy because both are needed on the spiritual path. It's not enough merely to have this inward conviction. We just have all those days and nights of what am I going to do? Have to finish out this karma, have these responsibilities I have to deal with. And that energy of a new tomorrow is the energy that helps us to march onward. Swamiji describes a lot of his music, you see, as antidotes to delusion. And he listed out some of his songs as specific antidotes to specific delusions. But all of them create a certain vibration, and there are times when that vibration is helpful. So what we're doing is the call to action. That's what the first two songs are. Then it comes that we, again, what comes next is what I call the inner resolution, which is the Psalm of David, the wonders that man did carve out of stone, and in the spirit I was caught up in ecstasy. You know, these are not necessarily sequential here. In the spirit was John the Beloved, not John the Baptist, but the disciple of Jesus, and it was written after Jesus had died, so it's not chronologically sequential. But once again, what we're doing is we're understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, Swamiji, last night I quoted one of Swamiji's answers to the questions about how do you succeed on the spiritual path. And I said he's given many different answers at many times. When someone asked him, how do you persevere to the end on the spiritual path? And he said, you must understand that it's a matter of life or death, meaning that the alternative is death. And he doesn't just mean that the body will die. which is there's no option. And so the Psalm of David has that power in it. The wonders that man that carved out of stone, and when you start singing those words that last a brief hour, as in Greece and his Rome, only God's power, only God's love endures. And on the spiritual path, we have this beautiful balance between devotion and reason. And they're not enemies at all. As Swamiji says, devotion must be kept in a state of reason, and reason must be inspired by the love of the heart. And so, again, depending on the moment in time, we draw upon all of these. And the wonders that man did carve out of stone, which happens to be just one of the most beautiful songs. Well, they're all the most beautiful songs, so I'm not going to bother to say that. He says, the wonders that man did carve out of stone and wove out of music, then called them his own, did last a brief hour, as in Greece and in Rome. It was grace at last that did free us, when our souls sought love alone. And the power of the melody is, of course, also there, in that Swamiji put into the language of music sort of all that longing for permanent happiness in an ephemeral world, and the courage that it takes to finally reconcile ourselves to the fact that this is just not going to happen. So much of the spiritual path is actually just adjusting to reality. This is the body I have. This is the karma that I have. These are the relationships that I have. This is the momentum that I have to now undo. And all that matters in all cases is just our sincerity. I was remembering yesterday, there was a woman who was at Ananda for a period of time, and she had a very rajasic nature. She was a very devoted soul, but she was a very rajasic person, just very talkative, very restless, and she really liked very rajasic music, and you would hear it coming out of her car when she would come here and there, and there was a great resistance in the community to having her become a permanent member because she brought a vibration that wasn't the vibration of most other people. And Swamiji actually showed up unannounced at the membership meeting in which her name was being considered to make sure that she was admitted. That was a very different era in Ananda Village, very simple. But he just wanted to make sure that she was admitted. And he really wanted us to understand the difference between personality and soul. And he spoke with great energy about, you know, she's very devoted. And that's really all that matters. You know, we become very, very involved in our personal weaknesses. It's hard not to, because our personal weaknesses cause a lot of chaos in the world. And they often cause a lot of suffering for us, either in solitude or with each other. So it's hard not to see them as important. But Master always said, and Swamiji also always said, you know, it's only a matter of how much you love God, because there is no antidote to all those personality troubles except to transcend the personality. Otherwise, on the psychological level, as Swamiji said, you get this one a little bit in order. And remember he described it like trying to wash a shirt in a bowl. You know, there's always a piece of it where the air bubble is there. And when you get that piece down, then the other one pops up, which is the suffering that eventually brings us to God. And so these three songs just take us very, very, very deep. You know, we've heard the call and we've received God's promise. And now we go very, very deep, so that we can understand what it is that we've really gotten involved in. Swamiji would tell the amusing story when he was teaching classes. He would teach an hour of Hatha Yoga and then an hour of Raja Yoga all over the Bay Area to earn the money to found Ananda. This was in the 60s. And he talked about a woman who came to his class and then signed up for the whole series a second time, as people often did. And she admitted She started, because yoga was much more unusual then, she started just so, as she said, she would have something unusual to talk about at her bridge parties. But then she said to Swamiji, but this is really serious, like that. So she wanted to start all over again, really understanding that this was really serious and there was something here for her. And so we feel this call and we're very excited, but these songs tell us there's something really serious here. They're serious in our devotion, in our surrender, and in the song of John, in the spirit, in our experience. And the song in between is to help us remember how do we get from where we are now to where we're trying to go? Well, we have to look at the hard reality that everything else that we're reaching for, just sooner or later, is not. A master says, we spend all our time feeding and caring for something that isn't even us. And he meant the body and the ego. I've enjoyed that so much. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I need to sleep. Oh, I need to be entertained. Oh, give me a hug so I'll feel better. We spend all this time taking care of something that isn't even us. Imagine if we devoted that much energy to a chair or a table or a favorite painting. How comical it would be, wouldn't it? To a stuffed animal. But we can't tell. And this is the spiritual path. Then, interestingly, what comes next is the section about the oratorio that's all about Divine Mother. I mean, this is esoteric in the sense that the Om vibration is the feminine in creation, and the Om vibration is where we begin to tune into the spirit, because we begin to move out of the ego and personality into the vibration of spirit all around us, which is the Om. But what's so beautiful in the symbology and in the fact of it is that what we discover in that vibration is we discover the mother expression of divinity. And whether we call this, and in the oratorio we have the mother of Jesus, literally. We have Mary that we sing about and we contemplate and so on. But what she is, because everything in this world is a manifestation of a higher reality, what she is she is the personification of the fact that God comes to us in the feminine with all of the sweetness that the feminine presents. We're not talking men and women. We're talking feminine principle. And the feminine principle is the intimate principle, the nurturing, the caregiving, the picture of the mother. That's why we speak of Divine Mother, not because there is this magnificent female, you know, being up there, although there are these many saintly forms that have been in feminine form, and the Mother of God is the most famous one in the West. In the East, of course, there are many. But it's for us to understand and develop the courage to open ourselves to that reality. Because it's much easier, isn't it? You know, you went as a child, when you've done something wrong, you go first and confess it to your mother, and then the two of you strategize about how you're going to tell your dad, right? It's not that your father doesn't love you. It's that your father, though, has that more impersonal, okay, now you've done this, now how are we going to straighten this out? But the first thing the heart wants is just to have somebody say, oh, you poor dear, you know, come here, let me hold you. Like this. I have a memory of having done something when I was about 7 that I did a foolish thing and then I lied about it. And I still vividly remember my mother just holding me on her lap while I cried. And I still kept trying to protest that I hadn't really done it. But what I really remember is her comfort. You know, these are the realities upon which much can be built. Because anywhere that you can feel that, I've done wrong, I'm afraid to face it, but my mother will just hold me in her arms. So we've heard the call, we've heard the promise, we understand the magnitude of where we're going, and then what happens next is we meet the mother. And of course this is also now the story, because now we're into the story of Mary and the angel coming to Mary there came an angel of light, and the angel sings the Annunciation to Mary, you're going to, you know, Hail Mary, this is going to happen to you. And Mary goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth. These are beautiful stories, because if we can fix in our mind through story, you know, our hearts are touched by this. Our hearts are touched by Mary being met by an angel and she having a baby in her womb and feeling that this baby is an expression of the divine, and that she has this both this privilege and responsibility to carry it out. And then in the most human way, her cousin is also bearing a child, and the two children are deeply connected to each other. So it's not as if in itself all of these things have to happen, but this is the way we ourselves live through this world, isn't it? So God incarnates in this world, and he lives the same life we live and shows us the higher octave of each of these steps. And so we concentrate first on the compassion of the mother, because it's very important to fix that deep in our hearts, because that's really what holds us to the path. That's one of the things that Master brought. Jesus brought from the harsh judge to the Father, which was a step forward. But Master brought from the Father to the Mother. Because our path is self-realization, and we have to go all the way on it. And we may talk a tough story at the beginning, but too many times we fall. And if we have also fixed very deeply in our mind just the beauty and the compassion of the Mother, then nothing in us will hesitate to turn in that direction. Mother of wisdom, you know, come to me now. You know, we were drunk on our own ideas of things. Isn't that how we said it? Our love receive, though blindly we pray, silently guide our thoughts when we stray. Now you see, we have to have the courage to ask to be guided. That's where the mother comes in. How many years, so proud of our wisdom, turning from God, we've wandered alone. So many years, we've boasted of nothing but madness. Meaning we were so proud of what we were. But what was it? Now we call you. Now our souls call thee. Make us your own. The sincerity of that prayer depends on our faith in who and what will receive us. How would we fear to run to the arms of a loving mother? And that's what gives us the power to turn away. So, let's start singing. Okay, so we're just going to start and run right through everything that's really short. All the recitatives, the wonders that man, the Annunciation, Hail Mary, all the short ones we'll do twice. Because it sort of takes two times to really get into the flow of it. And we won't really pause, just the time it takes Todd to move the keys and so on.
Children of God twice.
Children of God twice. If in doubt, do it twice. We do. We have Caitlin has the guitar for A New Tomorrow.
Children of God, your time of trial has ended. See where the dawn irradiates the night. Soon all our tears will rise like dew through the sun. Sorrows will turn to joy, your griefs to delight. Children, rejoice, for lo, the kingdom of God comes in full splendor. It needs but your sight. Children of God, your time of trial has ended. See where the dawn irradiates the night. Soon all your tears will rise like dew to the sun. Sorrows will turn to joy, your griefs to delight. Children, rejoice, for lo, the kingdom of God comes in full splendor. It needs but your sight. When the dawn breaks and then the morning sends the sun high in the sky, who would hide from heaven's glory? Who would pass the challenge by? La 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 la. There's a morning for every nation when the sun's high in the sky. There's a time for every people to affirm their destiny. La 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 la. Even so, all of us together can create a better land. Leave the past, a new tomorrow waits for all who understand. There's a morning for every nation when the sun's high in the sky. There's a time for every people to affirm their destiny. La 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 la. Leave the la 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 la. Even so, all of us together can create a better land. Leave the past, a new tomorrow waits for all who understand.
Unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made the that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth thee, Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. And even that man did carve out of stone and wove out of music, then called them his own, did last a brief hour, as in Greece and in Rome. It was grace at last that did free us, when our souls sought love alone. The wonders that man did carve out of stone and wove out of music, then called them his own, did last a brief hour, as in Greece and in Rome. It was grace at last that did free us, when our souls sought love alone. Sanctified by God, there he showed me the truths of heaven, truths which all seeking him should know. How the soul made to live in freedom can reclaim its eternal right. How the night born of our delusion love. Father, mother, both are one. When our hearts cry out in pain, mother, bring us peace again. there came an angel of light who announced the will of the Lord. Her purity blessed mankind with new life. Through Mary the light descended. O God of peace, O God of joy, may our souls find their freedom in Thee. There came an angel of light who announced the will of the Lord. Her purity blessed mankind with new life. Through Mary the light descended. God of peace, O God of joy, may our souls find their freedom in Thee. Was Christ in darkness did shine, 'twas the light that formed the heavens. 'Twas the light that shone in the blindest of hearts, making clear at last the way to inner peace. To testify that Christ came from above, a messenger of God declared before. Fear not, Zacharias, for your wife, though now old, shall bear a son who'll know wisdom's ways. Zacharias and his wife, their wisdom reap through the years, submitted to the will of God, and became soon thereafter the parents of John. When God so arranged that this mother to be Elizabeth, wisest of souls, did meet Virgin Mary, Saint John in her womb, did stir, for he recognized the Christ. Elizabeth then bowed, as she knew her babe's intent, and sang out in love and great hope. When God so arranged that this mother to be, Elizabeth, wisest of souls, did meet Virgin Mary, Saint John in her womb, did stir, for he recognized the Christ. Elizabeth then bowed, as she knew her babe's intent, and sang out in love and great hope. Full of grace.
And the parts here are part four of the whole oratorio, Jesus Comes. All the songs that have to do with his arrival. Here, why don't you pass those out to people? Okay, so we've done the first three parts, and now we're down to where Jesus comes. Shepherds awake, Christ has come. Three wise men and sing out with joy. Then comes the time for spiritual practice, because even though Christ has come, we are not yet able to receive him. So that comes our sadhana, desert solitude. And then this is Jesus himself going off to do his sadhana, representing all of us. Desert solitude and Jesus being baptized by John, the voice of God declaring, and then the temptation of Christ. Then after the sadhana is established, then comes the ministry. His mission begins. Jesus went to Galilee. The few were soon many, and lift your hearts. So those are the songs that we'll sing. So there comes a point, and this is again where we're running two stories simultaneously. The one story we're running is the actual birth and ministry of Christ. And the other story that it runs right alongside of it, or more accurately, as a thread right through the middle of it. So there's the birth of Jesus himself and the telling of the story, and then the thread that runs through it is what does that mean to us? So on one hand, you know how little children always like to hear the story, you know, tell me, Mommy, about the day I was born. And families get together and they tell the stories, and you develop this whole relationship to the things that happen to you. People who love each other and have shared a lot of life experiences often like to reminisce and remind each other of this thing that happened and that thing. Master's guidelines for marriage include that you should reminisce about your early years, about your courtship and all of that. You can understand, obviously, why. To remind you of when it was simple. And so there's a divine purpose in telling and retelling these stories, because the more we flow through the glory of what God has given to us, and the more we can feel that overwhelming, uplifting joy that comes at the beginning of things, the more we can remind ourselves of who we are and what we're doing. I think I shared in another context, I had a friend come to me. He's been on the path about 10 years. Just talk about the gradual waning of enthusiasm. Swore it would never happen, but now is watching it happen. And just reminding her that finding God is a deliberate act of will. And we need to renew our enthusiasm over and over and over again, because the nature of this world is to pull us away from it. So the songs about Jesus being born are all just magnificent in their power. And it isn't only just that Jesus is born, but you see, our prayer has been answered. A prayer of love went up from earth, and you responded. A ray of your light flashed out through the hearts of infinity, burst downward through night skies of consciousness, and was born on earth for the redemption of mankind in human form. I mean, this is a world-changing event. When Christ was born, when Master was born, when Krishna was born, it just completely redirected a whole society. But what it really redirected was individual hearts. And so the balance in the spiritual path is both to see it in its universal, and then also really have the faith in our divine relationship, to really claim that also as a personal blessing for us. It takes a certain impersonal confidence. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not ego. It's the exact opposite of ego. It's the ego that tells you that, oh, it wasn't really, I'm not that important. It's the divine self that says, I'm a part of God, and the avatar came just for me. That's how Sister Gyanamata wrote to Master. I know you had many disciples, sir, and I know you came for a world-changing mission, but I like to think you came just for me. She was an incarnation of wisdom. And that's how she wrote to her guru, in all that she understood him to be. And she did, you know, more than many. She knew who he was, and she took all of that and then also reduced it down, that you are a personal messenger from God for me. Because she knew also that that didn't diminish him. In fact, it fulfilled him, because it is above all for the disciples that the guru comes. So if you have a friend in your life and you're constantly making that friend remind you that you're important to him or to her, how does that go in the relationship? You know, if you just assume that of course you love me because you've told me so many times. I remember I had a very early experience with Swami Kriyananda, which was very touching to me. I just found actually the actual notes on it the other day. It was like 72, maybe 73, but it was right there at the very start. And Swamiji had gone into seclusion, and I'd gotten myself into a little bit of mischief. And I wanted to talk to Swami about my mischief because I was in trouble. But he was in seclusion, and I didn't want to bother him. So Seva told him, Seva, who was my boon companion, and Swami asked to come and see me to come and see him. And he was in silence. So the conversation was I talked and he typed his answers. I stood, you know, read while he typed. And we sorted out the mischief. It wasn't serious enough. It wasn't life-threatening mischief. But then afterwards he said, essentially, why didn't you come and tell me yourself? I said, well, sir, I didn't want to disturb you or something like that. He said, you insult my friendship. Now, you know, it was a totally startling answer for me. You insult my friendship? He said, how could what I'm doing be more important than your welfare to me? I mean, that was a very specific interchange. But I've always remembered that. Because we often, literally, I hear people say, well, I don't bother Master unless it's something really important. That's what bothers him, is that we don't acknowledge the intimacy of the relationship and that the Master lives for his disciples. I mean, the world goes on. It's just always going to be a mess. Nothing that they can ever establish. Look what happened to poor Jesus' church. I mean, it's just a mess. But the everlasting effect of the Guru's life is on the disciples. So the birth of Christ is, our prayer went up and he heard us again. Swami writes about this path that we're on. If enough people pray with enough devotion, it draws from the divine a special ray of grace. And that ray of grace is the incarnation of a master who then radiates this extraordinary power. I mean, here we are all these centuries later. And yes, we're working with a new expression of that ancient teaching, but that in no way diminishes the still living presence of Jesus. You know, when we call on him, he is as much present with us as when he walked with his disciples. Master talks about how St. Francis every night Jesus would just walk with him and talk with him. Just come as clear as when he was in the city of Jerusalem. And that was because Francis called on him. Because Jesus could come to all of us, as many as received him. That's the power. So the celebration of Jesus' coming, which we celebrate as these songs, as his life, is really the celebration in our heart that our rescue is at hand. I find that great comfort. You know, we are not abandoned here. Our rescue is at hand. And we have to put our hands on the ring that's being tossed to us. And this is how we do it. And then, again, we come back to this. Something is required of us. We have these karmic complexities. And even if we're not, or even if we're sincerely trying not to tie new knots, all those old knots still have to be untied. And it's a comforting way to think about it. I, whenever something miserable happens to me or I do something miserable, I always say to myself, well, this is a miserable thing, but there's a finite number of miserable moments left. And the moments of bliss are infinite. So this is just one more taken out of the way. And our sadhana is just simply that. Jesus goes off into the desert. Jesus bows at the feet of his guru. Jesus receives the acknowledgement from God. And then Jesus is tempted. And the masters all tell us that the masters really do enter in. It's very hard to put your mind around it. But the conditions of life in this world are the conditions under which they live. And the effort required to overcome those conditions is the effort required. They have the capacity to generate that effort. They have the capacity to face with courage what comes. But that doesn't mean that all the ups and down waves, you know, they're tossed on the same sea. It's just that they are able to not lose sight of the goal. They never lose sight of where they're going, but they still have to swim the distance and deal with the winds and be overturned in the ocean. So the temptation of Jesus, perhaps the conclusion was foregone, but the insinuation of that power trying to take us away. Just, there's that one line which is so beautiful in the temptation of Christ where he says, worship me to satisfy all human needs. That's what the devil says. It's very interesting in the song, depending on who sings it and how it's sung, you're not exactly sure at the beginning what's wrong with the argument. It seems perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? But there's that line, behold all the wonders God's grace can bestow if you but reclaim what you've given. Seems so simple, isn't it? Well, you've had it for a while, now I'll just take it back. Because this is what happens to the devotee, you see. You give yourself in devotion and in meditation and in sadhana, and then you can feel this potential within yourself. And so the temptation then is to take that potential back and use it in your own way. And it doesn't present itself as such an obvious bad choice. It's just, well, you know, you begin to feel it. And it is your own power, and you know that. But that's the fine line of it. My own, but God-given. And would I still have it if I forgot that it was God-given? This is what the devil says. Oh, yes, you will. You know, now this is you. And then he doesn't give the whole argument, but you know, I, the divine is within me. I am one with the infinite spirit. Master Swamiji talks to us about how you fall from sabbakalpa samadhi, very high state of consciousness, because you just feel this enormous power and you feel it to be your own. But you forget. You forget that this is really God-given power and you think that it's yours. Swami talks about falling from that high state. He says he feels that's what happened to Taramata. Now, these are very great disciples. Swami recovered from that fall, but he talked about it being in his past. That he felt that's what happened to Tara, his nemesis in SRF. She had a very high state of consciousness, but she began to think of it as her own. She just heard this little whisper, just reclaim what you've given. Why not? Why not ask of God any wonder you crave? Everything that you need, it's here. I can give you dominion over this earth. And you don't think of dominion as to exercise that like Hitler. You think I'll have to have dominion over this earth and think of all the good I can do. But then you've lost the one thing that matters. So this is the sadhana. It isn't just a question of meditation and devotion and service. It's holding steady and not losing the main purpose. And you know, the thing about all of these tests is that they're spiral staircases. I was talking to a friend and she was presenting to me a certain dilemma that she was facing. And I smiled and I said, you know, all the years that I've known you, which have now been many, I said, it's always the same dilemma, really. It's just the spiral staircase. It's that as our consciousness expands, the energy level gets higher, more and more is asked of us. The potential for goodness is great. The potential for confusion is also great. And there comes this desire just to shrink back again, isn't it? Just to go back to the comfort of whatever it was. The island is a little far away, the shore is a little too far to go back to, and we just try to find a way to just not have to go on. This is what sadhana really is. We just have to keep going on. And then, and also in parallel to it, once Jesus had established himself and his disciples. Now, of course, in truth, that sadhana took place in India. John the Baptist, John the Baptist and Jesus were both in their mother's wombs at the same time. So they were of an exact age, virtually. But at the age of 12, Jesus went off to India and didn't come back again until he was 30. And John the Baptist stayed where he was and did his sadhana in the wilderness. The legend is that even as a child, he went out and lived in the wilderness and just lived with the animals and the beasts and just grew up wild. And so when he came back in, he was wild, dressed in animal skins. But he was called, undoubtedly, by the divine force to come back and to prepare the way. And then he began saying, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Well, why wasn't Jesus there? Well, because Jesus was in India. And then Jesus came to John. Now, of course, they were cousins, so they knew each other. Here I am. And John looked at Jesus and saw who he was and said, I can't baptize you. And Jesus said, well, you have been my master. This is how Master explains it. You've been my master for many incarnations and it never ceases. It's in the fitness of things that I should bow to you, even if we are now equals. In fact, Master throws in the odd little thing that Jesus was now more advanced than John the Baptist. I asked Swamiji, why add that confusion to everything else? Swami just shrugged. He didn't know. But that's the story. But then Jesus demonstrates, because you see, there's no other sign of a guru in Jesus' life, which is a great loss to the teachings of Jesus. And in fact, is not the truth, because Jesus went to the masters of India and sat at their feet. So he had gurus. He was taught. He did do sadhana. But it's out of the Bible, so we don't see it. But he comes back to John, and then he's baptized by John. He reunites with his guru. The voice of God declares, this is my son. So they're seeing him. This is the presumption. They're seeing him again. The presumption is that he's returned, you see. Now he's done his sadhana. And now it's time for his ministry. He's been sent for his ministry. He did a ministry in India also, but now it's the one he was born to do. And so then he begins to gather people. And you have that very sweet beginning of turning the water into wine at the request of his mother. And just, what I love about stories like that is you really understand that this man was just walking on the earth, like Swami walked, like Master walked, and went many places and did many things, celebrating a wedding feast, helping out the host. How trivial. But on the other hand, how not? Because he's just beginning to put out who he's going to be. So then he goes to Galilee, he gathers, he does the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, and the disciples begin to understand what they have gotten here, who we are and what we're doing. And that understanding is not merely that they're going to receive this because Jesus is an example to them. Jesus has come with this message and he's giving it. And so they begin to understand, who we are, who he is, and what our destiny here is going to be. Of course, which makes it all the more poignant when that is so short-lived. And again, but then resurrected. All the drama of this, a very short drama. Jesus was 3 years there. From the time that he reappeared and began his ministry until he was crucified. It was just 3 years. So all of these people beginning to gather around and try to understand what they had, all of it had to come to them very intently and very quickly and very powerfully. So let's sing this part.
When he
in Bethlehem Jesus was born. The angels did herald the news to shepherds that slept upon a wintry field. They sang, "Awake in the Lord." When in Bethlehem Jesus was born, the angels did herald the news to shepherds that slept upon a wintry field. They sang, "Awake in the Lord." Christ is born this day. Alleluia. Born to drive our night away. Alleluia. Joy on the mountains, joy in the valleys, joy to the nations, Christ has come. Christ is born this day. Alleluia. Born to drive our night away. Alleluia. Joy on the mountains, joy in the valleys, joy to the nations, Christ has come. Joy on the mountains, joy in the valleys, joy to the nations, Christ has come. Then three wise men came from afar, guided by the heavenly star. Christ, the light of God, had descended, that receiving him all might be saved. Thus the promise of God was maintained. Thus all true souls were called to the light, that their darkness be lifted, that their hearts be made whole. When Mary's babe smiled, he conveyed truth and grace, that their darkness be lifted, that their hearts be made whole. When Mary's babe smiled, he conveyed truth and grace. Then three wise men came from afar, guided by a heavenly star. Then three wise men came from
receiving him, that receiving him, all might be saved, all might be saved. Three wise men came, guided by a star, to do honor and welcome the Christ born on earth. Three wise men came, guided by a star, to do honor and welcome the Christ born on earth.
What's the starting note?
Nope.
Sing. Okay.
Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. Silent every mountain, O life, every valley, sing within your soul that you live in the Lord. Sing on every mountain, oh, sing in every valley. Sing within your soul that you live in the Lord. Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. Sing out all your people, sing every valley. Sing within your soul that you live in the Lord.
Sing on every mountain, oh, sing in every valley. Sing within your soul that you live in the Lord. Sing out with joy,
God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our lights have ended. Sing, all you people, sing to the Lord. Sing and sing out with joy, we live in the Lord. Sing on the mountains, sing on the plains. Fill your heart with gladness, for Jesus has come. All you who labor, all you who sorrow, know that the Savior awaits but your love. Joy on every mountain, joy in every valley, joy has come to earth, welcome Christ in your soul. Joy in every meadow, joy in every home. Joy will come to you once you live in the Lord. Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. Sing out with joy, God's light has descended. Sing out with joy, all our nights have ended. John, renouncing all,
the ache of his heart. Then he did see God alone.
Hum with me.
Not of himself remains
naught but the true light. Heed well his words, the way he shows is my way. All who would find the truth walk where he leads. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Not of himself remains, not but the true light. Heed well his words, the way he shows is my way. All who would find the truth walk where he leads.
Behold all the wonders God's grace can bestow, if you but reclaim what you've given. Why not ask of God any wonder you crave? Worship me to satisfy all human needs. Dominion now over all this noble earth. All I ask of you is worship me. Get thee behind me, Jesus declared. Satan, know you not, our Father offers love in your stead. His gift of love to all is my only food. Is all I own. What does man need but him? Then the darkness lifted, love destroyed Satan's power. Then at last the Savior could begin bringing all to God. For he taught them in freedom, wanting naught in return. All he offered was perfect peace, perfect freedom of soul. God is all I love, he is all there is. Wise is he who says, I am wholly his. God is all I fear, low my throne of power, shaken by his love, was destroyed in that hour. Throughout all
was born. Jesus brought to man's heart hope for those steeped in sin. God is all I love. He is all there is. Wise is he who says, I am wholly his. God is all I love. He is all there is. Wise is he who says, I am holy his. To show that his care was for men everywhere, Jesus started his mission at a wedding nearby. When wine there was spent, to the servants he sent and requested them the jars with water to fill. Then many jars full of water were brought before him with care. He held his hand up in blessing, and the water turned to wine. To show that his care was for men everywhere, Jesus started his mission at a wedding nearby. When wine there was spent, to the servants he sent and requested them the jars full water to fill. Then many jars full of water were brought before him with care. Held his hand up in blessing, and the water turned to wine. Jesus went to Galilee and gathered round his chosen few. There together, filled with joy in God, they did sing with him and worship the Lord. Their needs were very few in their youth, in their joy. All they asked of God was freedom to love. Jesus went to Galilee and gathered round his chosen few. There together, filled with joy in God, they did sing with him and worship the Lord. Their needs were very few in their youth, in their joy. All they asked of God was freedom to love. Soon many great multitudes came, drawn by the man.
magnet of love. The brink men mistook for the banks of a stream was revealed at ocean's broad shore. Christ's Spirit embraced saints and sinners alike, and his words were sweet music. People's faith did restore. The few were soon many, great multitudes came, drawn by the magnet of love. The brink men mistook for the banks of a stream was revealed an ocean's broad shore. Christ's Spirit embraced saints and sinners alike, and his words were sweet music. People's faith did restore. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Spread the news that he is joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing hallelujah, God is joy. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing hallelujah, God is joy. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Spread the news that he is truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing hallelujah, God is truth. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing hallelujah, God is truth. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Spread the news that he is love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing hallelujah, God is love. Sing in the mountains, sing in the meadows, sing
we'll introduce and then sing the last part of the oratorio. There's a little more music in the last singing. It goes on a little bit longer. The whole thing is very affecting, isn't it? When you really sort of see the words and hear everything that's happening and put it in the context of the whole story. So the sections we're working with now are going deeper into the spirit. Jesus calling us back wins us back from delusion. Jesus wins us back. Then, of course, his real power is revealed. He's arrested and crucified. And then, finally, the happy ending comes the resurrection. So the process of going deeper on the spiritual path is basically something that never ends. In the Festival of Light, it says, greater can no love be than this, from a life of joy and freedom in God, willingly to embrace limitation, pain, and death for the salvation of mankind. Such ever has been the sacrifice of the great masters for the world. And that's all really beautiful, and you feel really touched by that. The next line is, here then is the fourth and last stage of the soul's long journey, the redemption, that this is where we have to go. We have to withdraw ourselves from absolutely every shred of expectation of the fulfillment of this world. It's a level of heroic self-offering that we can aspire to, but that we are naturally quite humble in front of. Even though we have to hold, we must hold, absolute faith, because it's true that we will cross through that last stage, and every piece of us that has been enamored of ego and self will develop vairagya toward it, a disinclination toward it. And when that disinclination comes, that's why vairagya, as I was saying last night, is such a fundamental part of the path. Vairagya means just a disinclination for the things of this world. You see, that's how it begins. Yeah, that dramatic repudiation usually results in a boinging back to the opposite side. But when that disinclination really begins to grow inside of us, that's the real power. Because it's not like we just see it for what it is, which is not ugly. It's just not enough. And you can actually even live quite happily in this world, engaged in your duties, in your relationships, in your responsibilities, ours, and still have vairagya, which is, I'm doing this because God has given it to me to do. But my true inclination is for the Spirit. And so we just have to keep going step by step deeper into that. There's the beautiful Beatitudes that Jesus taught, just the fruit of every longing has its fulfillment in God. And that's what the Beatitudes are when we're singing it. All of these different ways in which the heart feels anguish, your mother is listening and has a balm for each one of them. So the Beatitudes are really a very important teaching because, again, as I was saying at the beginning, these are the songs that heal us of our delusion, because we sing that song with the beautiful melody Swamiji put to that, and it says, for every suffering, there is an answer. Whoever you are in your limited self, God is listening and will take care of you. And then we're challenged with simply, he who clothes the fields, which is such a small song in itself, but God takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Why are we always so concerned? And I mean, that one goes so deep into it, us, doesn't it? Our health, our well-being, will we be loved? Will we be sheltered? Will we be fed? Will we be respected? Will we be noticed? Will we be forgotten? On and on it goes. So just that very sweet little song. God takes care of everything. Are we his own or are we not? It's just so many difficulties in life appear so complex. But when we get close to it, it's really a very simple question. The power to answer it in such a way as to soothe the spirit is not always so easy. But don't mistake the difficulty for complexity. That's why that sweet little song about the lilies of the field is just perfect. Just there it is. That's the whole story. That's the whole path right there. You know, who are we? To whom do we belong? What is the nature of God? And it's a great power in it. And then Jesus wins us back from delusion and the great dramatic example of his life was Mary Magdalene, who played the part so perfectly, you know, reputed to be a courtesan, a fallen woman, in every respect the opposite of what you would think of is what you're supposed to be. But the joy of redemption, that's what she sings about. You know, this she understood it, she knew, because she had been all the way to the other side, meaning distance from God. And then Jesus walked through her life, and he gathered her. He wins us back. Because ultimately, we all have to be won back. And then all the rest of it is gone, Master says. Makes no difference what we do in life or what happens to us. The only thing that matters is how we take that into ourselves and then what we become afterwards. About Mary of Magdalene, Jesus said, because she loved much, much is forgiven. And that's the balancing factor. I've been talking about the momentum of karma that we have to unroll. But the other side of it is it's all erased by divine love. That's the shortcut. That's how we get back onto the road, because then the master takes it. And they had one of my favorite lines in here, to souls that were fallen, he spoke of God's love and coaxed them with kindness to turn back again. And that's also like we were talking about Divine Mother at the beginning. He coaxed them with kindness. We have this picture in our mind because it's the way we think of ourselves and the way we think of others. With harshness, with punishment, with I'm so disappointed in you, you're going to have to pay the price. But instead, Jesus said, he coaxed them with kindness. Swami tells the story of when he was, there was a man, a Hollywood figure, who would spend time with Master, and then he was supposed to meet with Swami outside of those meetings, and Swami would instruct him in the teachings, and he never kept any of those appointments. And so Swami decided he was insincere. And the next time he came to visit Master, Swami was quite cold to him, just sort of feeling like, you know, you haven't honored me, so I'm not going to honor you. Afterwards, Master said, you were quite cold to him, weren't you? And then Swami said, well, I don't think he's really sincere. And Master said, I wonder how any of you would have progressed if I had treated you that way. And it's a very important point. Because we think somehow, even with ourselves, that sternness is going to work, but it doesn't usually. So this simple line, he coaxed them with kindness to turn back again. Then, of course, the whole story, once the disciples are on the path, and the reason in those 3 years he had very little time, at least as the story is told, who knows who went with him to India or what, but he had to give them enough so that they could carry on after this, you know, great cataclysmic shift, unanticipated cataclysmic shift. So the story, it was also, Swami says, it was Kali Yuga. It was Kali Yuga descending. And subtleties could not be expressed in a widespread way. And subtleties could not be understood in a widespread way. Swamiji said when he was thinking about writing about Master, there was a little piece of him that regretted that Master's life was so undramatic, you know, compared to the life of Christ. Look at what happened with Master. Well, he was born into a prosperous family, and his father gave him all this money, and he came to America. I mean, he struggled. God knows he did. But he doesn't have the drama. But Swamiji said in the life of Master, his teaching was the point. In many ways, in the life of Jesus, although, of course, his teachings are there, it's really his life. Because at the time, the masters become defined by the time and culture in which they incarnate and by the karma of their disciples. So obviously what his disciples needed was something unmistakable, and what the times needed was something unmistakable. I mean, think about all these centuries later, that's still the theme. His teachings are there, but the theme is how he lived. And so for us also, you know, we can gain a lot by just reliving and recounting this story. And as I was talking last night, because we were talking about arrest and crucifixion, that being the agonizing theme of Good Friday, of Terrible Friday, But the music that Swami wrote for this, who dreamed of the tragedy? Just all of us just going along in our own way, never really seeing what God has in store for us. Who dreamed of the tragedy? And then we sort of set the stage with that, but then we go back to the Palm Sunday song where everybody's just so jubilant and excited. And Swami described even that piece of music, he said, is slightly hysterical, was his words. Everybody's shouting out in all directions, which when we sing it, we can sing the choir version. There's really no other version of it to sing. Everybody's just letting go like this. But we've already set the stage. We already know underneath this that this is not where it's going. And then we have to understand, and it's a very important reformation of Jesus' teachings that Master brought, which is that his suffering was not the point. Whereas in the past, sorrow and suffering were the coin of man's redemption. For us, that payment has been exchanged for calm acceptance and joy. Joy in the face of difficulties. So if we understand Jesus correctly, we have to really understand the sorrow of Jesus was not for himself. But imagine how much more poignant that sorrow was. Because he's looking out and he can see the karma of everyone. I was talking to someone about how delicate Swamiji was, how careful Swamiji was in correcting us. And in that conversation, I thought, well, he was very direct with me sometimes. But then it occurred to me, well, how many things did he not say? How many things did he never even bring up, never even allow to arise, even in my mind, of what he could really see? So Jesus is there, and he knows the ways of the world, and he's looking at all these people, and they were not different than us. They had their attachments and desires and their inevitable tragedies. He's looking at all of it. He holds in his hand the key. It's right here. It's right in his hands. And he's trying to thrust it in their hands, and they're going like this. No, no, I don't want it. I mean, how much more of a heartbreak would that be? Imagine, you can think in your own life, somebody who's dear to you, maybe who's addicted to drugs or in some way following a very self-destructive life. The pain of that is really in many ways far worse than what you experience yourself. And imagine, multiply that by infinity. That was the sorrow of Jesus, that he knew it had to end this way. It was going to end this way, because this is the only way the lesson could be learned. But oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thee like a hen gathers her chicks, but ye would have me not. So that's why he wept. And then he also gives us what I think is the most perfect prayer. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Which is, this is the human and the divine perfectly. Is there any way that this won't have to happen? But then he says, but thy will, not mine, be done. And that is, we live in our human selves and we really do want the will of God. But then we also pray, Lord, is there any choice? And when we see there is no choice, thy will be done. And we have this power of Jesus, which Swamiji has. I mean, if there's any song I think that really is Swami's song, it's thy will alone. All that I am is thine. All that I've done is thine. And there's many other songs that people try to attach to him, and you know, that it represents him. But I think that's the one myself. And when you hear him sing it, which you may have in person or on recording, but also imagine being able to sing that without any part of you wishing it were otherwise. And then Swami writes, you remain our friend, and that was what he wrote for the crucifixion. I mean, just think about how different, how most people represent the crucifixion in art and in music, crashing cymbals, breaking worlds, horrible drum beats, you know, just every possible way of emphasizing suffering or tragedy or evil or whatever. Swami writes, you remain our friend. And he says what he wanted to concentrate on above all was unconditional love and compassion. He's just picking it up from a completely different string, just really feeling it as Jesus felt it. Because it was also truly, he was taking karma of his disciples and liberating them by this effort. The idea that Jesus died on our cross and took our sins is actually true. And it's true even now because a guru can do that. As Swami said, that physical body could only take the karma of so much, and then it was gone. Now he works it out in other ways. But you remain our friend no matter what we do, no matter how many lifetimes, even though eternally rejected, meaning that souls are always turning from the light to the dark, turning to the darkness instead of to the light, unchanged compassion, unconditional love. You know, and everything goes so quiet. And every week we sing that, you know, every week at the Festival of Light we sing that. Long we feared to face thy love, lest our emptiness it prove. See, this is the way back at the beginning when the divine call comes. I'm not empty, I'm fine. Everything's working just fine for me. What do I need? I don't need a guru, I don't need God. I can just do whatever I'm doing. I'm just fine. We don't even want to see that light because it'll just show us something we don't want to know. That's why most people don't stay on the path. That's why most people stop meditating. I say to people, you stop meditating because it starts working. And your awareness expands and you see things you really would rather not see, mostly about ourselves. And so we just decide the way to deal with that is to make the light dimmer. But the master is never dismayed. And, you know, also Swamiji elevating the relationship to the level of friend, which is what Jesus also did. Jesus, they said to him, he said, you call me Lord, but I call you friend. Because a friend, we share our reality. Each other's lives, we belong to each other. And the master says that the highest relationship with God is friend, which is very, very sweet because there's no compulsion in it and there's this complete dignity of self. Of course, you know, we prefer to be child to the mother and all of them are valid, but that's what our prayer is, friend, beloved, God. And so that's also what he's emphasizing is that aspect of it. And then, of course, the happy ending. And that I defined faith in God once as just the simple belief in the happy ending. If we're not at the happy ending, we're not at the end of the story. I say that to myself a lot of times. If we're not at the happy ending, we're not at the end of the story. I don't know how long these chapters are, but we're not at the end of the story. Every life book that was written has a happy ending. Just like Swami going to the back, they all have a happy ending. So Swami starts, he backs up a little bit in the oratory and he goes back to the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Transfiguration is the moment, as it's told in the story, when the disciples really understood that this was not merely another teacher, but he was the Messiah. You know, he was transfigured in the light and they saw him for who he was. And when human hopes toward the aspire is written in the realization of the transfiguration, of the realization that, you know, this being of light lives among us and God himself is incarnated to make us one with him. And that's what that tremendous power of that song is. And then we go back. Then we go forward again to Christ is risen and finally thy light within us shining. So let's do it now.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be blessed are the
shall inherit the earth. Blessed who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Bless those reviled for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He who clothes the field with lilies, he who feeds the birds of the air, he who floods the hills with his sunshine, he whose love all creatures share, will he not clothe us? Will he not feed us? Are we not like them, his own? Fill your chalice at his fountain. Know that you live not alone. Know that you live not alone. Two souls that were fallen, he spoke of God's love and coaxed them with kindness to turn back again. Forsake, he said, the fulfillment of earth, for the comfort they bring last hardly an hour. Two souls that were fallen, he spoke of God's love and coaxed them with kindness to turn back again. Forsake, he said, the fulfillment of earth, for the comfort they bring you lasts hardly an hour.
slake his thirst now and forever. Let him not fill his cup here from this well, from living water sipped in the silence, in spirit and in truth. Break ye
I was remains gone in. is the night. Now I rest, ever blessed, fed by thy sight. I am thine, thou art mine, hand in hand forever, thine, thine, I am thine, I am thine forever, I am thine, thou art mine. Hand in hand forever.
Hosanna to the Son of David. blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Sing out Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord.
Sing out
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of God. Sing out Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Sing out Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the was not for himself. He grieved for God's love, which eternally given, is spurned by God's children, lost in forests of pride. The sorrow of Jesus was not for himself. He grieved for God's love, which eternally given, is spurned by God's children, lost in forest of such dear
that I might reveal thy greatness. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Let my heart not know so much pain. Must the that I might reveal thy greatness, nevertheless thy will be
shameful past our emptiness it grew. Now at last our hearts we give you, who remain our friend. Long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness it prove. Now at last our hearts we give you, who remain our friend. Who remain our friend.
The man that was Jesus had shown his pure form. Upon a high mountain he stood, transfigured, 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 transfigured in light, that his chosen might see that he was the Christ. A hope of all hope, a joy of all joy, toward thee we aspire, who believe in thy word. The man that was Jesus had shown his pure form. Upon a high mountain he stood, transfigured, 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 transfigured in light, that his chosen might see that he was the Christ.
Human hope toward thee aspire, dark woods of grief are set afire. Beyond all reach of earthly skill, thy love alone can fill. Christ, like that shone on earth from heaven, open for us the inner door to all who love the gift he is given. Joy and freedom evermore. Christ, like that shone on earth from heaven, open for us the inner door to all who love the
die. Only death can meet death in Christ resurrected. Was the truth of Christ proved in Christ resurrected? Was Christ truth proved? Life cannot die, only death can meet death in Christ resurrected. Was the truth of Christ proved in Christ resurrected? Was Christ truth proved?
Risen this Easter morn, thus our life to joy are born. He from death is ever free, in his life e'en so are we. Gone all our darkness, vanished forever, in our souls thy light we see. Gone our delusions, clear now our vision, in thy joy we live ever free. Christ is risen this Easter morn, thus our life to joy are born. He from death is ever free, in his life e'en so are we. Gone all our darkness, vanished forever, in our souls thy light we see. Gone our delusions, clear now our vision, in thy joy we live ever free. Gone our delusions, clear now our vision, in thy joy we live ever free.
Inner
of the heart, our night has turned to day.
Let's meditate for a few minutes. Divine Mother, friend, beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, beloved Master, Paramhansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, humbly we bow to you all. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion. And may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om peace.